Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers at the end zone in a little bit of trouble. Dancing away from that. He lost the football. Back on it for a safety.
You know, I expect to play great every single week, and this was not my best performance. I got to play better than this for us to win. You know, if it's better checks, if it's better throws, whatever it is, I got to play better. I will, you know, but we got to bounce back. We got a division opponent next week. We're 5-4. We're ahead by a game in the division, and we got to play better on offense for sure. But this is part of the season. There's ebbs and flows. There's ups and downs, and can't ride the wave. You know, I felt like our energy, and it starts with me, it wasn't as great on offense. I felt like we were just kind of struggling a little bit and couldn't get a play to get going. We always say we just get a first down, we drive, and we had so many three and outs, and we hurt ourselves with a couple penalties, and I didn't play very good at all. So I got to play better. We also got to realize, listen, we got four division games left to play, long season, and it's a good opponent, and we didn't play very good tonight.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group on this Black and Gold Loser Monday. Low of 25. There's been some snow in the area. That is weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, so Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to sound alarm bells. He said, I need to play better. I will play better. I think this is now turning into a pattern for him. Multiple years running. He plays good teams. He doesn't play well. He looked last night, and he admitted the energy was off. He looked, as Malzi pointed out, like a guy that wanted to make business decisions, that had happy feet, that wanted to just get rid of the ball. First time really all year that he's looked like that guy. I think when someone's 41 years old and still playing football and they have a game that looks like that, it's all right to be concerned about that player's short-term future, because NFL players tend to fall off cliffs and not necessarily break down gradually. And I think, and I said this at the time, yes, like he was playing well enough where I wanted to give him 2026. But I also pointed out the way Russell Wilson's start to his Steelers career went. And I wanted to see how this entire year went before, you know, making a declaration on what I wanted from Aaron Rodgers beyond this year. And what I saw last night makes me think they're better off without him next year. Like, I'm starting to think we're going to have another situation where we get to January and it's like, yeah, he made up our minds for us. I don't care if he really is even going to contemplate playing next year. We're good. Thank you. It was cool that you got to extend your career and it didn't end like it did with the Jets. You got something out of it. What did we really get out of it, though? Maybe 9 wins.
At this point,
keep your fingers crossed for 10.
At this point, 9 or 10 feels like a long bridge to traverse.
I was more negative on Rodgers when he signed than a lot of other people in the media, and I'm not even close to taking a victory lap. Like, I'm not saying right now it's over for him 100%. Like, I think right now he looks washed, but he gets to play the Bengals next week, which have a way of bringing good back out of quarterbacks, so he has a chance very quickly to rebound. But my thought at the beginning of the year was he, ironically, given his resume, was going to be the first quarterback to have a losing season with Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
And for, I don't know, maybe most of this season, I thought that was a pretty dumbass prediction.
Looking better now.
Now I'm starting to think there's a real chance that happens.
I mean, I think that he could look good this week. The Bengals
also
will almost certainly not have Trey Hendrickson. I'm sure you've seen that already. So it's an even worse. It's the same terrible version of the Bengals, basically, that he got already. He should be better, but I can't shake the fact that he was ducking away from hits because just the week prior, I had seen him willingly risk his body to try to run, even though he's obviously not much of a runner anymore, and be willing to stand in there. In fact, every time he got hit in the weeks leading up to this game last night, he looked mad when he got up. Like, come on, why wasn't this there? Why didn't you do that? Did he really look mad that much last night? He looked almost resigned. He just...
A little bit early on, but then I do think a resignation set and he kind of spaced out.
Yes, so how many times do we get that, because they went three and out, how many times did we get that visual, the camera catches him clipping the chin strap back up like he likes to do, walking off the field, just kind of like there, you know? Just like walking off with a blank look on his face. I'm not cussing out a receiver. I might like put my hand up and show that I'm a little bit annoyed, but I'm really just walking back to the bench. That's not a look I want to see when the guy is almost 42. And that's what those are the kind of things you have to make inferences about when a guy is at his age, because it's such uncharted territory for people not named Brady. He just, in addition to being bad, he didn't look like there was a fire lit at all last night. And for most of the season, at bare minimum, even when he's been bad, he's looked mad and looked like fired up about it. Last night was just kind of there.
412-928-9370. Let's talk to you about last night's loss. Here's Ethan on the fan. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Yo.
Hey, first off, I want to congratulate you, Chris, on all your success, never running into a garage door pony. Don't be too hard on yourself. I've done it myself and went through a lot of shame, but came out of it a better man, so don't worry about it.
Were you sober when you did it?
I was, yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel even better then.
Yep. Well, yeah, anyway, we don't need to get into that story. But
did you have to, like, explain it to your wife, or was she, like, understanding when it happened?
She was on the porch, and, she saw it all happen. Well, she heard it happen and came out, so, yeah, that was tough.
That was my situation.
Ethan,
she heard it.
Ethan, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you and Pony, two big-time doers of smart things around the house, you guys can converse about this game. I'm going to sit back as a man who hasn't backed into his garage door and let you guys have the floor here.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll tell you what, the one thing I was noticing all day, I blame yesterday's loss completely on Aaron Rodgers. He looked awful. The one thing that I noticed, he was throwing, and I don't. Maybe he does this a lot, and maybe it's not unique, but it seemed like he was throwing the ball off his back foot a ton, resulting in overthrows, which we know. And you know what it reminded me of was back in 2004 when I got put in to play quarterback against Clareton in termite football, and I was just running for my life throwing the ball. He didn't seem engaged. He seemed a bit scared. You guys said business decisions, and you know, I think early in the game, they set the tone. The offense set the tone. We get the ball at the 40-yard line to start off the game. We go three and out. Now, granted, the defense had them go three and out as well, but, I mean, it was just flat all day, guys.
Yeah, it was. Thanks. 100%. It was a very flat performance. That's a good way of putting it. And I think because of his age, if Ben Roethlisberger had a game like that, I would be upset. I would be, like, in his prime, I would be upset. I'd be furious that he kind of let a game like this just completely go by the wayside, but it wouldn't make me think about his ability to play quarterback. Like you mentioned Josh Allen already. Josh Allen was not good yesterday.
Mahomes even has had a couple of stinkers this, like one or two not even close to Patrick Mahomes games, but he's Patrick Mahomes,
yes,
still in his prime.
There's no existential crisis with those
guys.
Like,
I think people are saying, well, you guys wanted him back last week, and hey, I thought that maybe if he kept playing this well, sure. But when he's at this age, it unfortunately is, I think, a week-to-week proposition
100%.
With him.
Yep.
Now, you might not like that if you're somebody out there who's like, well, I'm slow and steady. I don't really change my mind. When the quarterback's about to turn 42, you have to be nimble because they aren't. And because they're, you could absolutely see him go full decline in the span of 2 weeks. And I don't think that that's a point that anyone wants to acknowledge.
I mean, that happened to Russell Wilson last year, and he's 5 years younger.
It doesn't make it any less real, though. When you get to this age, it's the old, you do not know the hour nor the day when you stop being able to play NFL football. Pony, to use one other position, how many other guys at other positions, Vontae Davis did it, other guys have done it, who just say, I'm done. Who was the guy this year who retired after a game?
Smith in Philly.
He just said, that's it.
Darius Smith.
That's it.
And he was their leading sack guy.
No, we changed a couple of the runs, but no, we just, you know, Jalen made some really nice plays. He's a talented guy. We got to get him more touches.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Aaron Rodgers saying we need to get Jaylen Warren more touches. He's right. Mike Tomlin balked at that after the game. Mike Tomlin was incensed by a question about that after the game. Let's hope he didn't hear his quarterback afterwards. Tomlin wanted to finish up his press conference when an unidentifiable reporter who might have been working for an L.A. outlet asked Mike this.
Guys, like, you 0 for 9 or 10 on third down, you're not going to have enough snaps. Like, we've been over that discussion a lot. Next.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure you did have more opportunities to get Jaylen Warren in the game and have him affect the game in more ways. How do I know that? Because the NFL puts out a game book every week for every game that has every snap documented in it.
Very nice resource, by the way.
Kenneth Gainwell played more than Jaylen Warren last night.
Outsnapped them 27-24.
How is that possible?
Don't know. Jaylen Warren averaged 5 yards a carry.
He jumped over a dude.
Had people's heads exploding. He accounted for 91 yards of offense. That made him, by orders of magnitude, the Steelers' most successful and effective player. Gave them whatever brief glimmers of hope they had. And you played Kenneth Gainwell more.
I can't get over that. So I don't know if Rodgers meant to, when he said that, as a way of like getting a message out to the coaching staff or the team. I mean, he's not above that. He's done that a lot in his career. In this case, if that was kind of a passive-aggressive comment directed at his coaches and his offensive coordinator and the running backs coach, whoever's responsible for the lack of playing time for the Steelers' best offensive player last night, it's warranted. And Tomlin just falling back on, well, maybe you would have picked up, here's an idea, maybe you would have picked up some of those third downs if you had Jaylen Warren on the field for third downs, which by and large he didn't. Let's take the one guy that if you throw it to, Donnie used to bring this up all the time, the Steelers offense before Aaron Rodgers showed up.
Throw it to 30 and pray.
Just get the ball to Jaylen Warren and hope that he does something good with it.
They had a play like that last night. He like dumped it off and he went for, what, 25 yards?
Yeah, that was the old Matt Canada bit. When I went as him for Halloween, my play sheet was jet sweep, deep ball to Pickens, and throw it to 30 or give it to 30 and hope. That was the three plays. I mean, that's been a pretty steady thing for them since they got Jaylen Warren and decided to put him on the field. And so Mike is just not going to give anybody anything after a game like this. He's not going to admit that anything might have gone wrong. He's obviously emotional, and it just – I do find it a little odd. The dude's been a coach here for almost 20 years. He has had to eat crap many times after bad losses. I would think he would be a little bit more savvy, frankly, as to how to handle that situation.
I think his true colors come out. I bet he felt like his defense played well enough to win the game and the offense completely let them down.
I mean, I think he's right to a point there. I thought their defense really did hold up pretty well in this game. Like, I'm not going to even fault them that much for, like, the fourth quarter giving up that last touchdown because they had been on the field a ton. Too bad, man. Your offense bailed you out against the Jets.
Yep.
Your defense let down against Joe Flacco. You don't get to be the guy who finger wags. I mean, you do. You're the head coach. But no one's going to have sympathy for you. Your defense got strafed by Jordan Love. He and Joe Flacco went approximately 65-70 over two games.
Here's William on the fan. Hello, Will.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
I know you guys want to put all the blame on Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he did absolutely terrible, and I think this whole year's been a facade for him. But honestly, this team just sucks from the top down. Like, if it's not the defense one week, it's the offense the next. The coaches, I feel like, don't even know what they're doing. They, like you said, they didn't have Jaylen Warren out there at all. I don't know what they see in Gainwell to put him over Warren, because obviously he was the best player last night, other than maybe Highsmith. But the team overall just sucks.
So what do you think their record is going to be at the end of the year then? Like 6-11?
I think they only win two more games. I think they might beat the Dolphins and maybe the Browns.
I don't know. Did you see the Dolphins put it on the Bills yesterday?
I did.
So if they go 7-10, would you say that team sucks? Does a 7-10 team suck?
If they started 4-1 and finished 3-9, how'd they finish? Because we always look at teams that, like, how their trajectory was to end a year. Like, look no further than the Lions a couple years ago. They ended the year on a streak, didn't make the playoffs, but that was the jumping off point for them being pretty good.
I think, like, they obviously have had games, like, offensively last night, they sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Period. The quarterback sucked. But they're 5-4. I don't think they've sucked this year. I don't think they're headed in the right direction. But I think what it is more of the same. I think it's just, again, they're still a mediocre football team.
They've been extremely uneven and up and down, and a lot of people have made this point to me on Twitter, probably the same to you. That's just the mark of an average football team at best.
Yeah.
If you can't string to get, like, being consistently good week to week is one of the hallmarks of being a good football team. Like, no one would say the Dolphins are a good team after yesterday, right?
Of course
not.
They
delivered one of the command performances of the NFL season out of nowhere.
Yep.
They're a very good bet. They're a team that 2 weeks ago or whatever was losing to the Browns in hapless fashion. They're a very good bet in their very next game to not look good. That's why they're a bad football team.
The Steelers are 16th in scoring, which is smack dab in the middle. They're 20th in points against, which is below average. They have a negative point differential. Their time of possession stat is one of the worst in the NFL. The only thing that says they're not a bad football team right now is their record, which is the most important thing. But the other numbers say that this is not a good team. I wouldn't say they suck, but everything else says they're not good.
Well, the Ravens also have a negative point differential. They have a losing record, and they are like a minus 270. 270.
But the difference is they have an excuse. Their star quarterback was out.
I know, and I'm just saying that the people who make these odds are treating them like they are a pretty good football team, despite them being down in the division by a game still.
Matt is in San Francisco. He's on the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Been listening in for the last couple hours. I've heard it all. there's so much to unpack here. I turned that game off last night, right after Bozell missed that 44-yarder. I'm like, nope, it's not happening tonight. I mean, when the buzz is off, it just kind of rolled downhill from there. Rodgers obviously that's the worst game I've ever seen him play, ever. I've never seen him play that. I mean, I saw the highlights and stuff and watched the first half. But the common denominator still goes back to the head coach. It's the same shit. We see it.
Yeah, we got to dump that word. Everything else was fine. I just, and look, I'm not someone that wants to, stick up for Mike Tomlin and wear his Kevlar or anything. But
his defense wasn't the issue last night.
When the quarterback is missing throws like that, the only problem you can have with Tomlin is that he brought Aaron Rodgers here in the first place. Which, if you want to like take it that far and look at it on more of a macro level, fine. But they didn't lose the game last night because of Mike Tomlin, conservative play calling or bad clock management or time management or any number of things. They lost the game because the quarterback stunk. And it seems like it's hard for a lot of Steelers fans to just admit that.
The first three drives, the first quarter worth or whatever of plays for the Chargers.
Yeah.
They ran 13 plays. They gained 25 yards. They punted all three. The next quarter, they gave up 10 points, but like it wasn't like they were hemorrhaging. One was a short field. This is not exactly a show that traffics in giving Mike the benefit of the doubt. His defense was not the problem last night.
We're almost an hour and a half into this. Are we the only people, the men sitting in this room, who think that there's reason to be worried and have cause for concern with Aaron Rodgers? Because it seems like that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not right now. All right, that music means it's time for Donnie's balls, his three-game balls for Chargers 25, Steelers 10. We want to give you proverbial game ball for helping us become the 2025 Marconi Award winner for Best Station of the Year. That's going to take place Monday, November 17th, so a week from tonight, at the Drum Bar at Rivers Casino. We are giving out free drinks to the first 300 guests. So come chill with us, say hello, watch a little Monday Night Football, pit basketball, drinks on us to celebrate another amazing year of Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio. All right, let's get to the game balls. We'll take more calls. We'll get to the latest on the Steelers wide receiver 2 fiasco and what it was like without somebody coming to help out the Steelers receiver core last night after what went down.
I'm on pins and needles for this, Don, because I don't play along with your and Pony's game formally of can you name the same three, but there's only one that like strikes me as just has to be on here.
I'm thinking one Steeler made the list and got the third ball.
I do not have a Steeler on the list.
Ooh.
Well, can I say who it would have? Would it have been Warren?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought Warren was going to sneak on there. So who instead got game ball number three?
I think you're going to be surprised by number three. It is a former Steeler that made the list.
No.
Dante Jackson.
Dante Jackson is my number three. Jack and I had Jack help me a little bit on this because I wanted to figure out how often were the corners on DK Metcalf. Now, it was pretty split between those guys, between Cam Hart and Dante Jackson, but they both shut him down, and he had the pick at the end of the game as the little cherry on top. So I thought a lot about giving it to Cam Hart, but I guess the interception, I gave it to Dante Jackson.
Here is Aaron Rodgers on those interceptions.
The one play I threw to Jalen Speed, that was a run call. I was looking at the backside. We had a huge cavity to throw at the DK, and they just, for whatever reason, the guy dropped out right in the window, so we had nothing. Kind of live with those plays sometimes. Usually they work for big games.
Mistakes happen. They did in this game. We were told on Friday by the play-by-play voice of the Chargers that Dante Jackson was, what was it, a gentleman C+?
Yes.
Was the grade he gave him on the air?
It was the old, I am the Chargers play-by-play voice. I can't really say what this guy's played like all year, but here's what I will say. That was exactly how it was characterized, Pony.
And he stepped up to make the Steelers, I guess, in some ways regret letting him walk, especially when we're watching their corners drop like flies. Joey Porter Jr. drop an interception that's thrown right to him, and Brandon Echols get cooked like a piece of bacon in the microwave.
We should have started a counter. I mean, I guess we wouldn't have really known this. The amount of times that Darius Slay just gets like dinged up and leaves a game and it's nothing serious, and then he ends up coming back in and then he's dinged up again.
Well, obviously this one was a stay out game. Yeah. Porter had one of those yesterday, but he's a much younger
person. I feel like Slay did that three times against the Colts.
He did. Oh, he got dinged up. I mean, I'm never going to minimize it, too, because we always see it in slow motion, so I'm sure it's a lot harder of a hit than it looks like. But
yeah,
the concussion play even looked strange. It did not look like the kind of NFL play that we've all seen where we go, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like, even Jackson Dart yesterday got fallen on by, like, six different people.
Donnie, game ball number two.
Ladd McConkey.
I had him one.
Yeah, I would have had him one, too.
Had 100-plus, had the touchdown. I mean, maybe if he had more grabs. I mean, he made him count. He had the touchdown. He had the 58-yarder that felt like that was really the, you know, that was the play that, like, broke the dam open where their defense just didn't have it anymore. Because I really don't put much of this game on the defense. I mean,
poor Echols had no prayer on that touchdown, too. God, and then Collinsworth sitting in there, he's had a bad night in the booth. And
Collinsworth was orgasmic after watching that touchdown.
They do just show the move McConkey puts on him, and that's an impossible job for
There's no stopping that move right there, Mike.
It is funny because as much as Collinsworth was annoying, he's also right about that play. I'm sorry.
Phil McConkey score that touchdown right there, Mike.
You could put who's the best slot corner ever. Put anybody you want there. No one's stopping that play. No one.
Aaron Rodgers, you can tell the way he talks about it. Said they were trying to move him to tackle. And I don't think Aaron let it happen. Like, he knew what he had, and he has really been getting to him.
I don't think Aaron let it happen.
I am not being accusatory here. This is a genuine question. Do you ever think that there's a chance that Collinsworth, maybe, before a game, has like a hot toddy, not a literal hot toddy, but you know what I mean, and goes in there just
buzzed?
A little bit more, not buzz, no, not buzz, just a little more ebullient than he otherwise would
be. No, I think that's
his
natural
setting. Sliding into the booth.
See, they don't really do that slow pan anymore.
They don't.
Like, that used to be great.
You think they got complaints about that?
I don't get why. Everybody started to love it. We loved it in college, and then...
I think that's the most Ben Roethlisberger thing Aaron Rodgers has ever done, if that's true. Because I could 100% see Ben, like, in a production meeting or on the air with us back when he was doing our show, say something like, oh, yeah, the guys wanted to... I had to talk the front office out of making him a left tackle. I had to sit down. I told Kevin, I told Mike, I need him as a tight end, and they listened to me. Ben Roethlisberger, all-knowing. All right, so, man, who's number one? Vidal?
Vidal Sassoon? Yeah, I gave him number one.
He did break a couple
Kamani
runs.
Kamani Vidal.
He broke a couple decent runs on them. He started to get churning.
And I felt like you come off the game against Jonathan Taylor where you knew it was such an emphasis on him. He goes off again yesterday.
Yep.
What do you have, 250 and three touchdowns?
He had the biggest game, I think, by a back in the NFL this year.
Longest touchdown run, too.
Yeah, and it just felt like, okay, we don't have to worry about that guy this week. And not that he had a monster game, but he had a good one. And, I mean, before a couple of weeks ago, he was a nobody. They're down to running back three on their depth chart, and the guy still has a good game.
He was running it well enough late in that game that I kind of got the – or not late in the game, but like I got the sense watching it when the game was still in semi-doubt that he was breaking off enough significant gains that Tomlin would like specify after the game. You know, this
right,
Vidal
like,
started to hurt us.
Yeah,
blah,
they,
blah,
were
blah,
able,
blah.
Like, they were able to lean on the Steelers a little bit because of him.
I'm going to make a prediction that's tangential to Vidal. I think Desmond Reed is going to get picked around the same spot, like fifth or sixth round because of his size and injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to go somewhere and very quickly help somebody.
What do you think is the absolute, not nightmare team, that's not the right way I'm putting it. In terms of what you know about how a team schemes their guys up, best place where Des Reed could go where he's going to cook a little, like right away and put up shockingly good numbers. Like, is him in a...
Right away?
Like a Rams or a Frisco, like as a change of pace guy.
Well, I think San Francisco would be great as like the Christian McCaffrey understudy, but he's not going to put up numbers there unless he gets playing time.
He's also smaller than Vidal, though, isn't he? I mean, Vidal's listed at 5'8", 215. That's pretty...
What do you think Reed is?
No, I'm saying more the weight. I think
yeah,
Reed is
think
a lot lighter.
I think he'll beef up. You don't think so?
Desmond Reed. I'm going to see if they list. He's listed at 5'8", 175.
Yeah, he's got to beef up. Here's Tomlin on the run defense problems.
Just on the grass too long. We didn't convert enough third downs. The time of possession was what it was. Collectives and individuals wear down when you're not standing up.
Funny, on the grass too long is what ruined Martavis Bryant's career. Do you hold on. YouTube only gag right there.
I get it. The offense went three and out a ton, and they didn't convert a third down until the game was basically over.
Yes,
but he still can't bring himself to blame his defense. It's the offense's fault that Vidal was good.
I just thought they had good little scheme, and they were again moving people. They were moving. I know there can be a lot said about the defense, and maybe there's time for that later, but. When they don't get turnovers, man, when they don't splash stuff, whew, it ain't good.
All right, coming up next, thank you, Donnie, for that. We're going to get into this wide receiver two thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.